So often things don't make sense. In the middle of the battle we call life, the fog of war, the fear, the uncertainty, the fatigue can cloud our vision. But then one day, God comes along and breathes something new into being. He clears the air, and on a clear day, we can see forever. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we chat about the blessing that God wants to pour out into your life from a different perspective. Maybe I'm showing my age here, but I'm old enough to remember back to the 1970s hit song from Frank Sinatra, "On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever." It was one of those iconic hits, and it's such a meaningful song on so many levels. On a clear day, rise and look around you, and you'll see who you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you, that the glow of your being outshines every star. Of course, life doesn't always feel like that, because it's not always a clear day. So often life is foggy and stormy and we can't see very far. The cares of this world, the cares of today, the worries about tomorrow mean that instead of being able to see forever, our eyes are downcast. We've stopped dreaming. We've stopped hoping. We're just surviving. Does that sound familiar? It should, because that's how most people are living their lives, sad to say. And I guess that's what we've been looking at this week on the program, looking at the world through the eyes of the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, this man who all around him saw injustice and violence and pain amongst God's very own people. And so he goes to God and in effect he says, "Lord, what do you think you're up to? Why do you let these things happen? And Lord, how long will you let these things go on?" It's not unreasonable from where he sat. And in response, God blows away the fog and the smog, and God makes it a clear day. I'm a natural optimist, really I am. I'm one of those people who's always dreaming about the future and hoping and believing. It's just the way I've been wired. There are, of course, downsides to my personality type. We all have those. But this is one of my upsides, believing God for his best in my life, believing that God is going to do mighty things in me and through me. But even with that sort of wiring on the inside, there are some days where the cares of today, the worries about tomorrow, weigh me down. There are. We all have those days, some more than others, me, pretty rare. I'm not used to living like that. So when those days do come, they're even harder to cope with. It's so easy for us to look around at all the injustices. You know, one of the things that God had to deal with me on was how much money was being distributed across the church. There's a church not far away from where I live. It has fewer than 10 members, and yet it sits on a piece of land with a large car park that very conservatively is valued at $15 million, probably much more. I look at that and think, what a waste. And yet here we are at the Ministry of Christianity Works, reaching millions of people each week. If only we could afford one or two extra staff to lighten the load on a very small, very overworked team. That's not a pride thing. I just look at those two and weigh them up, and it feels like such an injustice. God, how can you let this go on? I see the same for many of the radio stations that broadcast our programs around the world. It's so tough financially, yet the church around the world seems to waste so much money on assets it doesn't fully utilize. And I, like Habakkuk, whose story we've been following this week on the program, went to God and said, "Lord, why do you let this happen? How long will you let it go on?" See, that's our narrow human perspective. The injustice of our circumstances can get us down. I'm just being really honest with you here, sharing the realities from my own life. You have those realities too in your life. They're just as real. They feel just as unjust. And that's exactly how Habakkuk felt when he went to God and said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for your help and you do not listen? Or I cry violence to you and you will not save." And so God comes along and clears the air. The problem is we get a distorted view of things from down here among the fog and the smog. We lose sight of the big picture. In the army, I served in the army for 10 years, we used this term, the fog of war, which meant in war, in the battle, the fatigue, the fear, the pressure means you can't see the big picture. You don't have all the information. And so you can end up making mistakes that can cost you your life. yesterday on the program, we saw how after pouring the burden of his heart out to God, Habakkuk finds himself in a position to actually listen to what God has to say. Habakkuk says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, "I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint." In other words, I'm ready to hear what you have to say, God. Listen to what God says to him. "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Moreover, wealth is treacherous. The arrogant do not endure. They open their throats as wide as Sheol. Like death, they never have enough. They gather all nations for themselves and collect all peoples as their own.'" See, God tells him to write this vision down. It's the appointed time. It's true. It might seem to tarry, but it will come. What God's saying here is, listen up. This is really important. And then God speaks the vision. He paints the picture clear as a bell. He tells Habakkuk and you and me and anyone else who's prepared to listen the way things really are. It's a vision that goes from here clear to eternity, because on a clear day, you can see forever. God says, look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous will live by faith. The proud, the arrogant, the powerful, the beautiful people, they always seem to be winning. The big, the successful, they seem to have so much. But listen to what God says. Their spirit is not right within them. The very essence of who they are is puffed up and distorted and crooked. That's the reality. That's what God sees. That's the way it really is, despite outward appearances. And at the opposite end of that spectrum, the complete opposite, God says the righteous live by faith. Those who have a right standing before God because they've humbled themselves, accepted their own inner poverty, and put their faith in Jesus whom God sent, those live by faith. A deep, steadfast belief in God who sees things so clearly. God's almost asking a rhetorical question. Which one would you rather be? Which life would you rather have? It's a clear day. You can see forever. Which life would you rather have, the proud or the righteous? And then he goes on to say, moreover, wealth is treacherous. The arrogant do not endure. They open their throats as wide as Sheol. Like death, they never have enough. They gather all nations for themselves and collect all peoples as their own. See, wealth is fleeting. It all looks great. But when a financial crisis hits, all those who appeared so wealthy and successful come crashing down. Their greed brings them undone. Stand back. Watch. That's exactly what always happens. See, to Habakkuk, it all seems so unfair because the proud and the wealthy and the arrogant seem to be winning. That's his complaint to God. But God calls it the way it really is. On the inside, they're already dead. Those who seem to be winning in their pride and their wealth and their arrogance today, in the long run, they will lose. And in the meantime, he's saying to Habakkuk and to you and to me, let your faith in me be steadfast and rock solid. In your thoughts, your actions, and your dreams, be steadfast, because that's actually what's going to give you real life today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. Because on a clear day, you can see forever. Social media, love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of these posts, you can share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus, amen? Well, this is one of the simple, practical, and powerful ways that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, be encouraged and blessed, and share some of that love with your friends as well. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.